This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Obviously, a little bit has changed since last night, so let's welcome Eric Rupner onto the show. Good morning, Eric.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. And before we get to anything else, I'm just curious, because I always want to know how these things work. So I just mentioned there is expected to be some consequences for both teams after last night's brawl. How does that work? Do you get an email from Rob Manfred and then you have to deliver the bad news to whoever gets the bad news in terms of fines or suspensions? How does that work?
How does it work?
Yeah, typically you hear from Mike Hill,
who's
sort of the individual that's charged with communicating with teams on anything related to the rules, anything related to suspensions. I mean, it's possible something significant enough, which I certainly wouldn't anticipate here in terms of length, you know, that you might hear directly from the commissioner on it. But typically it's Mike Hill who makes that call.
And so he just calls you and you say, all right, I'll go tell the fellas. Like, how does it work? I'm so curious as to this. And if this is too...
Does he go directly to the player or the coach?
If this is too, you know, CIA information, you don't have to tell us. I just have been curious. Like, you get the call or the email or whatever, and then you got to go tell maybe Schulte, maybe Robert Suarez, or how does that work?
Yeah, typically the communication will come to, you know, AJ and myself, and, you know, typically AJ is the one who will communicate down to the clubhouse, you know, starting with Mike, and then if there's any impacted players, you know, the communication would go to them as well. But that's usually the way the information flows through. Yeah, and thankfully we don't get too many of those calls.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and Schulte talked about it in his post game last night. Like, it's not how we do things around here, really, man. And we will if we have to. And I thought that was really, really impressive.
Can't tell, we kind of love it, Eric, what we saw, the fight from your guys last night and making sure not only that they win the game, but, the, you know, standing up for his players. We love that about Schulte.
Yeah, no, I think, look, he's one of the very best in that regard when it comes to managers in our game. You know, he definitely is going to take up for his players and for the organization. And, you know, he has a great amount of respect for the game. I think you hear him talk about that often.
Yep.
He's been in the game his entire adult life, you know, starting in a clubhouse, you know, as a teenager in the minor leagues, working his way up through scouting, player development, eventually coaching and managing at the big league level. And so, you know, he's got a wealth of experience when it comes to sort of the unwritten rules around baseball, you know, and there's a lot of those. And I think he takes pride in the fact that, you know, the teams that he manages have always played the game the right way, but also don't take anything. And, you know, you heard him say that again last night. And I think the point is, intent can be a difficult thing to discern. You know, you got a rookie pitcher making his first big league appearance, you know, comes in on a fastball. Was he trying to hit Toddy there? Was he not? You know, we're never going to know. But the fact of the matter is we're at a point where we've got a star player who's been hit, whether it's intentional or unintentional, too many times.
Yep.
And now he's going in for a scan this morning. And, you know, we're hoping that and praying that, you know, it comes back negative as the x-ray did last night, but it's in a really delicate part of the hand. You got a lot of bones in that area between the wrist and the hand. And, you know, both the Dodgers doctor and our team doctor recommended that he get scans this morning to, you know, rule out a fracture. And, you know, I think we're all hoping, frankly, including the Dodgers, hoping that it's not broken. And at the end of the day, that's the consequence, can be the consequence of guys getting hit, whether it's intentional or unintentional. The difficult part of the game, you know, as pitcher injuries are with UCLs and Tommy Johns, you know, the same thing with position players, you know, getting hit by fastballs or high velocity pitches. I mean, you saw what happened to Jake Cronenworth early in the year, you know, fractured a rib, lost a lot of time. You know, you get guys that can get concussed if they get, you know, pitches up around the head. And, you know, you can get hand bones and wrist bones broken. And so, you know, we don't like it, and it can't continue, especially not with Tatis.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just happened too much.
Agreed, 100%. 100%. Talking to the CEO of the San Diego Padres, Eric Rupner. And, you know, a lot of this, it's not uncommon this time of year. We kind of always ask this question, and I know you guys discuss this internally. You know, this is a team that, man, they show a lot of fight, show a lot of heart. they need to make some moves. They've admitted it. AJ said it on this program. Josh Stein said it on this program. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, we'd love to upgrade the roster. What does that look like from your seat this year as it pertains to adding payroll potentially? And I think Darren just said, yeah, probably don't expect a Rafael Devers $225 million contract. I don't think any Padres fans are. Not that we would say no to that, Eric, but kind of from your seat, where do you guys sit on being able to add at the deadline or maybe even sooner?
Yeah, I think it all begins with an evaluation of where you're at, and not really where you're at today, but where you're at, you know, going into the deadline. So we've still got some weeks before we're there, but we still believe in this team the way we believed in it coming out of spring training. And I think there was a, you know, some concern among the fan base that maybe this team wasn't going to be competitive this year or didn't have the pieces necessary to go out and compete for a World Series championship, which is our stated goal. And as I said all along, going back to spring training when we opened camp, like, that hasn't changed. You know, we've taken payroll up 30% year over year. You know, that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. But there is a major commitment from ownership to putting a competitive World Series championship caliber team on the field. We signed Nick Pivetta to a multi-year deal. We extended Jackson Merrill. I mean, we're here to win this year and for years to come. We've taken payroll up. We're going to continue to do what it takes within the resources that we have to do everything possible to win a World Series championship. And so if the season ended today, we would be a wild card team and we would be in the playoffs competing for a World Series championship. We started the season 14-3. We set a franchise record for the most consecutive games won. Now, we've faced adversity since then, and we're on the hopefully the back end of what has been a really tough road trip and a tough stretch for this team, and I get it. You know, fans get frustrated. We all get frustrated. Nobody likes to lose, let alone the players in the clubhouse or the manager. But we're working, and we're going to keep working. We're going to get key guys back. We expect we're going to get some help in the rotation with some guys that haven't been available for most of the season, and, you know, hopefully starting with Darvish and then King, and we've got Waldron and some depth pieces that are going to be coming back available, and then, you know, hopefully get Jackson Merrill back shortly after the 7-day IL stint for the concussion. And hopefully, you know, we don't have Toffee with a fracture in his wrist or his hand. And we're going to keep building this thing back up. And it's a long season. And I think it's going to be about where we're at the deadline. And, you know, if you look at this team, the team last year, we finished last year with the second most wins in the regular season in franchise history. Do you know what our record was at the All-Star break last year?
It was 50-49.
50-49, we finished 93-69. It's the nature of this game, guys. You go through these stretches. And, you know, I've been in the game for 15 years, and one of the things that I've learned is, you know, you don't get too high, you don't get too low. You know, you're never quite as good as you think you are, and you're never quite as bad as you think you are. And you just got to keep working.
I never get too high or low, Eric.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
I
sometimes
never,
do.
I never.
But
do.
You agreed. And Eric, you know, I try to be careful not to move goalposts. When the Padres started this stretch of 26 games in 27 days, we said, got to tread water, 13-13. If the Padres can win the next two series, 4-2, they will do just that.
Yep.
They will manage to get through what looks, at least on paper, to be the toughest part of the schedule without giving up any ground, which I think is commendable that they put themselves in position to do that. And one of the reasons that you guys are still okay, I think, is got to be Manny Machado. He's having one of his finest, if not his finest, season at the plate. The All-Star balloting is out. He's ahead big time to start the All-Star game, which I think is absolutely deserving. And he's approaching a major milestone. I think he's, what, 15 hits or so away from 2,000? Not to spoil any surprises, but do you guys, you know, want to do something special? Hopefully it happens at home. I know you can't control that part of it, but, you know, as Manny just reaches these incredible plateaus of his career, what do you have in store for him?
Yeah, we have something planned. Not at liberty to discuss exactly
sure.
what it is, but we're certainly going to commemorate, you know, that milestone when it comes for Manny. And I think that's exceptionally well said. I mean, he's done a lot of his talking on the field. And he's also, you heard some of the things that he had to say last night. He's another guy on this team and a leader on this team that's not going to back down. It's not going to give an inch to an opponent. He competes and he wants to win. And he's done that over an extended period of time in his career that I firmly believe is going to end up in Cooperstown. And these milestones are just a byproduct of that, whether it's the 2,000 hits or you know, the 350th career home run that he got just a short time ago. And so it's a real treat for all of us. You know, I'm a fan at the end of the day, just like you guys. I know you guys are fans as well. And it's just a treat to be able to watch Manny Machado post every night, every day, play an exceptional third base on the defensive side and then change the game offensively with a really elite skill set and swing that is Cooperstown worthy. So just incredibly fortunate to have him on the team, having can increasingly step into a leadership role in this team, which he, you know, he's doing a better and better job as a leader and just continuing to grow in that capacity. And so we're fortunate to have him, and as fans, we're fortunate to be able to watch him play. And really look forward to that continuing for years to come. And, you know, just one other thing that I want to make sure, you know, the fans hear when it comes to this stretch, because you also kind of talked about the stretch and where we might end up at the end of it. You know, we got to play better baseball. You know, I want to make sure that's known and heard as well, and everybody knows that right now. Like, we got to play better baseball, and we got to play cleaner baseball. And Mike knows that, the coaches know that, the players know that. So it's in addition to getting guys back and maybe having an easier stretch of the schedule. Objectively, we've got to continue to play better and better baseball as the season goes. And like we did last year, you know, and get into a second half where we're playing our best baseball going into the postseason.
Finally, Eric, team back home, hasn't been home much lately. Six games coming up against the Royals and the Nationals. And, of course, this is Star Wars weekend. It is actually one of the most fun, I think, promotions of the year. Got to know, CEO, who's your favorite Star Wars character?
Well,
say Darth Vader.
Star Wars
say Darth Vader. Say Darth Vader.
Emperor Palpatine.
I gotta go old school, just Han Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Millennium Falcon.
Of course.
I mean, what a stud Harrison Ford back in the day.
You both have good hair.
Yeah, both got fine, gray yeah. hair. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a Millennium Falcon growing up.
Too.
The toy Millennium yeah. Falcon. And I think probably my mom has it somewhere in her garage.
My mom backed over mine.
What?
My mom backed over my Millennium Falcon.
It really was the coolest toy yeah. for a kid of our generation.
Never
to have
forgot
a real
it.
Millennium Falcon toy
it's
to like
best.
Fly around. It was the best.
Now, my kids were coming tomorrow night. Yeah, it was the best. We're going tomorrow night to the game. My kids are all week. We're going, right? Yes, we got tickets. We're going to that game. Yes, we're going to that game. They're so excited. They love it every year.
Yeah, it's great. It's a really fun weekend. You know, our team does a really good job of bringing in the Star Wars characters. You know, the beer fest tonight, pregame, you know, come down early and enjoy drink specials. And it's a special Star Wars theme with that. And really is amazing just how the love of Star Wars spans generations, you know, and now is getting passed on to, you know, Gen Alpha and our kids and some of the younger fans that we have. And so it's a, you know, great way to maybe dress up a series that traditionally us versus the Royals hasn't had as much intrigue as us versus the Dodgers, but the Royals are a great team. You know, you can see Bobby Witt Jr. play, and they're no pushover. They're a good team, and, you know, we're trying to get back on that track where we're winning games and winning series consistently, and it starts with the Royals this weekend and get a little Star Wars flair on top. So it should be a good weekend at the Ball Yard.
Eric, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Eric Roepner, Friday, Padres CEO.